How do people have a baby?
What's gay?
Out of your Bible.
What is a period?
What is transgender?
What is a condom?
What is a sperm?
What is poop? I can't say it. What is puberty?
What would it be like to be a boy?
But would a boy want to know what it's like to be a girl?
What is sex?
What is sex?
Welcome to our first quarantine edition of What is Sex? Each episode, we will discuss one anonymous question we've been asked by a kid while teaching sex ed. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Izzy. And we're two of the co-founders of Yes, a nonprofit that provides sex-positive, intersectional, consent-based sexuality education to people of all ages. And we believe it's never too early to start having these conversations.
To learn more about us, check out our website, yes2consent.org, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at yes2consent.
As Rebecca said, this is our first quarantine episode. So I hope the sound works out. We're experimenting with a virtual recording.
Yeah, it's very weird not being in the same space as you.
Yeah, I miss you.
I miss you.
Do you have any, like, quarantine updates to share with our listeners?
Well, I make jewelry as a side hustle. So I've been selling a lot more jewelry, actually. It's been scary and hard to mail out orders. I've been trying to avoid that as much as possible. So I'm sort of a bit stressed with backlogs of things and that I don't want to go to the post office unless I absolutely have to.
Yeah.
I mean, not to mention, like, some guilt I have for making people ship out things that aren't essential. What else?
How can people find your earrings?
Yes. Please find me. My Instagram is at whatastudco. With underscores between each word. And you can find me on Etsy as well. What a Stud Co. Nice. And Izzy.
Yes.
You've been doing some remote workshops.
Yeah. So it's really nice to have some work. And I'm otherwise just teaching a lot of online violin lessons. Lots of FaceTime violin lessons every week. Yeah, and also another big accomplishment of the week that I would like to share is that I made matzah for the first time ever, and it came out amazing, and it was really labor-intensive and ultimately delicious, so I just feel really proud, and also visually beautiful.
Did you say it was flavor-intensive?
No, labor-intensive.
Labor-intensive. I was going to say, if it came out, yeah, if it came out full of flavor, you might have done something wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. Cool. Good for you. Good updates.
Thanks.
I feel like talking about our topic today is maybe particularly relevant for sexually active people in these times.
True. It's all about safety.
I feel like we might answer some questions that folks don't know the answers to.
All right. So this week's question from an elementary school student anonymously is, what is a condom? What do you think might be the question behind this question? Do you think there's anything else the kid is curious about?
I think that often when folks talk about sex and sort of offhandly mention that you have to be safe, there's a mention of a condom, and there's rarely a visual that goes along with it unless you're in a sex ed class. And hopefully in that case, you're given a lot more information. But I think that's part of it, is that maybe there is sort of this word floating around and no sort of image of what it is. And if people then mention that it's something that goes over a penis or inside of a vagina, it becomes a much bigger point of confusion because there is, again, nothing sort of grounding that information. What about you? What do you think? What's going on?
Yeah, I was thinking something similar, that it's something that's mentioned offhand a lot as, like, part of the checklist without any follow-up. And I think It made me think of a time in a sex ed class with fourth and fifth graders where one of the kids asked me, so when my parents always say that, like, if I go to a girl's house, I need protection, what are they talking about? What do they mean? Which I thought was the sweetest question, because this kid's parents think that they're being super clear and they're, like, being sex positive. And, you know, the kid was young and not probably sexually active yet. And they're, like, trying to start early and say, like, use protection. But this kid just had no idea what that meant. So I was just, like, imagining this kid thinking of, like, a helmet or, like, protection for his heart. Or I don't know. Like, it could mean so many things. And I was like, oh, they mean condoms. And he was like, oh, really? So... yeah, it just reminds me of, like, the need to follow up, not just say a word or, like, mention something that as an adult we think is clear, but make sure that we're actually following it up.
When you're teaching about condoms and other form of contraception, are you using the vocabulary protection?
I don't think I ever say that. No, I don't think I use the word protection because I think it's kind of vague. I might say, like, a condom protects you from, or, like, is a barrier between or blocks these things from passing by, but I don't think I would just use protection as a noun without saying what I was talking about.
I also feel like it's words that kids these days, the youth, are still familiar with. So I don't know that I think it's harmful as long as there is a conversation around it. It does, though, now that you're saying the word barrier, it does feel a little bit, I don't want to say aggressive, but it does imply something a bit negative to say protection. And maybe something scary for people. So I don't know that it's the best word, but I do think that I've used it.
Yeah, I try to be really literal. So I'll say things like, well, if you, especially young kids, like if you want to have sex and don't want to get pregnant, you just need something to block the sperm. Or if we're talking about hormonal birth control, to like change the body parts, just to stop an egg and a sperm from getting together. So one way to do that is to use a condom, which stops sperm from getting here, or another way to do it is use a pill, which stops an egg from going here, and just try to be really specific.
Great.
And then also, we got some other questions from the same group of elementary school students about condoms, so those might be other questions that were floating around in people's heads, so I'll just read those other two questions too. Other students asked, do condoms hurt? And also, do condoms feel good, or does it hurt? So apparently that's a question behind the question, too. It's like, what does a condom actually feel like for the person wearing it?
So, Izzy, what was your first experience with this question, with the word condom? Do you remember?
I was trying really hard to remember my first experience with the word condom, and I don't remember that. But what I figured out, I think, was my earliest memory of learning about condoms was actually in sixth grade, I started watching Seinfeld. A lot. Like, it became my favorite show. It was a big family show for my family. And I definitely remember specific episodes about condoms, or with moments about condoms where I learned things, or that I didn't quite get the joke because I didn't totally understand what condoms were. So I remember an episode where Kramer has a friend who starts working in a condom factory. So he gives all these condoms to George, and they're all different bright colors. And I think the joke is supposed to be like they look really cheap and like not something you would trust to keep you safe from pregnancy. But I didn't get that. I didn't know condoms didn't usually come in all sorts of like reds and blues and yellows and green, you know what I mean? So I didn't get it when Jerry was like, oh, I don't think I want one of those. So I was definitely confused by that. And I also remember an episode where George, so it's the episode about Elaine's preferred birth control being the sponge.
Yes.
And she's trying to get the sponge before it goes off the market, and it turns out that George's fiance Susan also prefers the sponge, but they don't have any, and they're trying to have makeup sex, but only Elaine has the sponge, and she won't lend one to George, and he's like, I won't go back to condoms, I refuse, I'm engaged, like, I won't go back to condoms. And then there's a scene with him trying to use a condom, and then he says it's too late, like, he can't get it open fast enough, and then he says it's too late. And I had no idea what was going on for any of that. I was like, too late for what? Like, why is it timed? Like, what's the rush? Why is it so hard to open? I definitely remember that spurring a lot of confusion. And in general, I would say Seinfeld was like a pretty large percentage of my sex ed information.
Yikes.
In many, many different ways, like body parts and masturbation. And I think I first learned about moaning during sex from Seinfeld. Like, a lot of my sex knowledge came from Seinfeld. But condoms in particular came up a few times, and But the thing is, I must have known, like, it definitely wasn't a new word for me when I watched it on Seinfeld, and I definitely wasn't like, what is that for? So there must have been some information before that, and I just don't remember where it came from. My best guess is that it came from peers and maybe other media.
Yeah, I think that it's something that's used in a lot of TV. I don't remember my first experience with it either. I mean, that's pretty on trend for me. But as we've discussed in previous episodes, I mean, I had seen porn really young. And so I'm sure I saw condoms happening in that. And
I hope.
I don't quite remember being young and talking about them or learning about them. But my first experience having a condom, this was before I was sexually active, but I was probably, I don't know, maybe ninth grade. And my older brother, who is 7 years older than me, so he was in college, but living at home. And we didn't really interact. Like, I was his little sister, so we didn't have much of, like, a friendship going on. And he was, like, kind of distant for the most part, but I remember doing makeup with a friend in my room, and we were, like, just getting dolled up to take photos on our flip phones or something, like, swiping our bangs to the side and putting on eyeliner and whatever. And then a condom, like, flew under my door into my bedroom.
Wow.
And I just heard my brother say, stay safe.
Oh, brotherly love.
And it was absolutely the first brotherly, like, caring thing that I can remember in our relationship. But it was also, like, I hadn't been having, like, intercourse. I hadn't started having sex yet. And I just remember thinking, like, oh my god, my big brother thinks that I'm having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then thinking, like, very weird for your family to think about you having sex, eh? Me and my friend just sat there sort of pondering how weird the experience was.
Did you open it? Like, did you look at it?
No, I think I saved it for years and years.
Yeah.
I was like, I did not trust my brother. I did not think that I should use the condom that he gave me. I was like, he must be giving it to me because it's old and he doesn't need it anymore. But I sort of kept it as a souvenir.
Oh. Do you still have it?
No, I mean, if it survived, like, 5 or 6 moves, I'd be surprised.
Right.
But I definitely kept it past its expiry date.
Yeah. Nice.
Should have kept it and framed it, but no.
Yeah. Still have the memory. That's what's important.
Blue Trojan.
Yeah.
Packaging.
Nice. Yeah. So my second memory of condoms post, like, media, my first time, like, being in the room with a condom was ninth grade in health class. We had condom day, and I absolutely remember how I felt about that, which was just like pure revulsion. Like, I was so uncomfortable. I felt like sick to my stomach about it and about having to touch condoms. And I can't really imagine why that was so intense for me. It just, like, I thought it was gross, and I just was really upset. And I remember being in the class with almost entirely boys, and the boys next to me gave me a really hard time about it and, like, kept, like, throwing condoms at me. And I just, like, I think I was close to tears. Like, I was so upset. And looking back on it, like, it was a pretty, like, thorough introduction to condoms. We, like, looked at a bunch of different kinds and got to open them and touch them. And she showed us a sheep's intestine condom, which was the most revolting of all to me.
Well, it wasn't new, right? Like, it looked as though it, I'm remembering it as, like, beef jerky. Like, dry.
Oh, God.
Is my memory of that condom. And I was like, have you had this in your family for years? I couldn't understand why it was brought in.
I don't remember it looking like beef jerky.
Like an heirloom condom.
I remember it looking more like the casing of a sausage, which I guess is what it is, right? Yeah. Like, intestine.
Yeah, it is.
It just looked so, like, entrails, like a dead animal. I don't know. I'm a vegetarian. It was not for me. It was very unsettling. And I remember her also saying, like, this will protect against pregnancy, but it won't protect against STIs. So I was kind of like, that doesn't sound great. I don't think anybody should go that direction. But yeah.
Who's bothering?
But that whole day, I just, like, was nauseous. And I think about that when kids ask me about condoms, because I think, like, wow, I really want to prevent that from being their first experience. Not that I'm blaming anyone for that being my first experience. I think it just ties into the whole idea of, like, sex being taboo overall and, like, penises being taboo, and then suddenly, like, without any easing into it, I'm just being handed all of these, like, things that go on a penis for sex, and no one had ever, including my health teacher, made it seem like sex was normal. So I was like, well, why is this supposed to be normal? Why should I have to touch these?
I can't imagine that they were throwing condoms at you. That's so rude.
Oh, absolutely. So rude.
So rude.
But also so typical.
Yeah.
You know when you start rolling it the wrong way and you just, like, can't fix it?
That's never happened to me, but I do know that it happens.
What?
Well, because I always did it on my thumb before I did it anywhere else, because I never had nails, so I didn't have the risk of, like, puncturing it. So I would just, like, do it a little bit and then put it on the penis. Because I was told that, like, if you did it the wrong way, you had to throw it away.
Yeah, you have to throw it out, exactly, because you can't flip it. I feel like that was all super confusing to me, and finally someone, like, I think, again, when I was trained as a sexuality educator, I learned that it should be a sombrero, not a beanie.
Yeah.
So it's, like, the rim should be curling up, not down. That was helpful. Because sometimes I was just like, it won't roll. And also, I was taught as a sexuality educator, when you need to flip it, blow into it with your mouth so that you don't stick your finger in case you have a nail.
Right.
So you can just go like, and then a little blow will just flip it right around, make it a sombrero, and then it'll roll down really well.
I remember, I'm forgetting the word. The sheet that goes over the vulva.
The dental dam.
Yeah, I remember seeing a dental dam for the first time.
Yeah, I remember that too.
And feeling like I was told all the reasons that it was protective and good and, like, a good barrier, I'll say. But I did, and I still do on some level feel like, what a silly little thing.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way.
And, like, I would never teach that, but it's definitely in there somewhere. It's definitely internalized for some reason. I don't know.
Well, they're really not used very much. Like, they are a good thing to use, but I think it's pretty rare that people actually use them. That's not based on a statistic. That's based on anecdotal evidence, so I shouldn't really claim that.
Right. But there must be, I'm wondering if it's because we're all feeling for some reason, like, what a silly little thing.
Right.
Like, how goofy. And it's really not.
Yeah, it's not silly. And I don't remember feeling that way in ninth grade. Like, in ninth grade, when I was grossed out by condoms, I was kind of like, okay, dental dams, condoms, they're all in the same family. Like, you use one, you use the other. But then I remember knowing, like, learning that, oh, people really do use condoms and they don't really use dental dams. Like, because, well, part of that is because people don't think you need protection for oral sex. Like, that's just a pretty big cultural feeling, is that, like, using protection for oral sex is weird, which it's not. Not weird, but...
No, of course. I mean, I think that it's because of all the taboo about STIs, and it seems more acceptable and more normalized to use something to prevent pregnancy, but if you're using something to prevent transmission of STIs, then people think, like, first of all, they're uncomfortable probably coming out, being open about having one, and then there's a conversation that needs to happen regarding using protection when you have one. So I think it's rare for it to happen in, like, a casual sexual setting.
Right. Because people get defensive, like, if you want to use a dental dam or if you want to use a condom, that means you think that I am quote-unquote dirty or have an STI and or something else that makes me... That's, like, a hurtful assumption because we conflate disease with morality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that made me remember, actually, and this was a little later, so I guess I had gotten more comfortable talking about condoms at that point, and I think I had, like, bought condoms at that point and was using them. But I think my junior or senior year in high school, when I was the vice president of the Gay Straight Alliance Club, I remember a first-year boy who was out as gay raised his hand in the middle of our club meeting, which was probably about planning our benefit concert or a movie night or something, because that's mostly what we did. But he asked, so if I'm like giving blowjobs to men, to boys, like, should I use a condom? And I was like, yes. Like, I remember really immediately being like, yes, you should. And then he was like, I'm not gonna. And I was like, oh, but please do. He was like, no, I'm definitely not gonna do that. That's weird. I was like, it's really not weird. And it's, I think, a good idea. That was like probably the biggest conversation I'd had about sex, like, I guess it was like my first sex ed moment. It's like this younger person coming to me being like, what should I do? And trying to advocate for safer sex. I definitely had like not a lot of tools in my tool belt for that conversation, but I remember at least being really clear, like, yes, that's a good idea.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like this mindset of and taboo around having an STI is a large part of the reason why STIs are more rampantly transmitted amongst the queer community, because we're not protecting ourselves against STIs necessarily, we're mostly protecting ourselves against pregnancy, or that's what's really stressed.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And we're just like lucky that STIs also get blocked when we protect against pregnancy. But yeah, it's pretty rarely a focus, and I think it's almost never a focus when it's not like direct fluid exchange. Like, people forget that STIs can be transmitted from skin-to-skin contact.
I mean, it never even occurred to me, if I'm being perfectly honest, to use any sort of protection when I was, like, fingering a woman.
Yeah, I think that's pretty common.
Or going down on a woman.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, something I don't have to think about, right. Like, I can't get pregnant. How beautiful. What a wonderful situation to be in.
And it's not to say that, like, I don't want to make it sound like we're saying everyone should use protection every single time they touch any other person in any way. But it is, like, something to think about. Like, I hope people are at least making conscious decisions about it and not just, like, forgetting to think about it. Or I hope that we're having conversations with the people that we're having sex with and making those decisions together. Because I think another thing that I think about is that condoms are so rarely brought up as part of consent. I mean, we barely got consent education, but I have been thinking about this more recently in the way that schools do sex ed. It's just like remembering to say that, like, if you consent to sex with someone with a condom and then they don't use a condom, that's a violation of your consent. Like, that's part of informed consent, is like knowing someone is telling the truth about their STI history, or, you know, if you ask them if they've been tested and they say they've been tested, like, if that's a lie, that's not consent, right? So I think that's important too. And like, I definitely know people who have consented to sex with a condom and someone has taken the condom off partway through and then been confused about what, like, was I assaulted? And obviously that's people's own choice how to define it, but it is absolutely a violation of someone's trust and consent if you don't respect what you mutually agreed on in terms of protection.
Right. I think it's important to stress that there's a lot of discussion about how sex for people with penises can be less sensitive or less stimulating with a condom on.
Mm.
And it's often used as a reason about why you shouldn't use one, or they don't want to use one, or you're a bad person if you're making someone with a penis use one because sex isn't going to be as pleasurable for them then.
Right. That speaks to the other two questions we got about whether condoms hurt or feel good. That can be often like the main thing that people focus on, is like, how does it feel for the penis wearer or penis haver, condom wearer?
Right. You know, I think I was often told that I should stand up for myself. You know, sex feels just as good with a condom on, which is, you know, standing up for yourself is a wonderful advice. But I think that acknowledging that, yeah, maybe it is a little bit less sensitive with a condom on, but, you know, maybe you'll last longer, and also you're still having sex, and you're still, you know, receiving pleasure, and just because maybe it's a little bit less sensitive for you doesn't mean that I should risk my safety or my comfort.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on like, mostly girls, honestly, because there's not a lot of queer inclusive sex ed. There's a lot of pressure on girls to be in charge of, like, boys' behavior in many ways, including condoms. I feel like that's part of the same narrative we get about sex in general is like it's girls' job to stop boys from having sex and to say no to sex and to push it off, but it's also girls' job to have a condom on hand and to make sure they wear them and make them wear it. Like, don't take no for an answer. But it's like, how much are you talking to boys or penis people about the importance of like taking their partner's needs into account and not making their partner argue with them about safety, or like how to have a safety conversation that's really mutual?
I also think that there's not a ton of clarity about like both people participating in sex if there's going to be a condom involved. It's everyone's responsibility to make sure that you have access to that and you're bringing it to the party. Like, I don't remember ever being told that, like, oh, I can buy condoms and I should be buying condoms if it's something that I feel I need to feel protected and want to use. You know, it's not necessarily my partner's job to do it. I mean, it's both of ours.
Yeah. And then they could also have been talking about internal condoms, which people with vaginas can buy and put on themselves. So it doesn't right. even have anything to do with someone else's body. You can just wear them. And I know internal condoms are harder and harder to get.
I remember them being significantly more expensive.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I remember going to CVS with my high school boyfriend who we had been using condoms and we didn't like it for whatever reason. I was like, okay, I'll try this internal condom. And then I think I went to go buy them and it was like $3 a condom or something.
Mm-hmm.
Which I couldn't afford. I think we gave it a go, but it was also not for us. I don't know.
I think they're really cool.
But I was really bummed about the price point.
Yeah, the price sucks.
They are cool. They're very cool.
But I think internal condoms are so cool because of several reasons. One is that you can put them in hours before sex happens. So, like, I think that's just such a sweet thing to be like, I'm going out tonight, and I'm going to put an internal condom in just in case, and then we don't have to interrupt the conversation. You know what I mean? Just like, I'm ready. I feel like that could definitely be empowering. And also, they like, cover a lot of the vulva, not just the vagina, and so that protects against skin-to-skin mm-hmm. transmission. Yeah, for anybody who's using an internal condom, important fun fact is just take the ring out if you're going to put it in your butt, because butts are vacuums, and the ring is something they can grab onto. And also, it probably wouldn't feel that good to have that in your butt anyway. So yeah, if you're going to use it in your vagina, leave the ring in. If you're going to use it in your butt, take the ring out.
Could you use an internal condom and an external condom?
Yes, together? I learned that recently. I feel like we always, you know, learned, like the one thing we learned about condoms in sex ed was no double bagging, right?
Yeah.
But I learned when I was being trained as a sexuality educator that actually research had disproven that, and actually wearing two condoms is probably fine. It definitely makes me nervous to like fully advocate like use two condoms, because it doesn't seem like anybody totally knows. It doesn't seem like it would be that hard to figure out though.
Right?
Yeah. I would say the more lube you use, the safer it's going to be, because the only issue with using multiple pieces of latex, also though I don't think internal condoms are latex. At least the FC2 brand of internal condoms are not latex.
What are they made of?
They're polyurethane. So that's a good option for people with latex allergy. But using like multiple latex pieces against each other is just the friction issue, but you wouldn't have the friction if you have the lube.
Love lube.
Yeah, lube is really underrated and just like pretty helpful.
So what kind of lube could be used on a polyurethane condom?
Any kind.
Okay, we'll follow up next episode.
Okay, yeah. We need to have a whole lube episode anyway.
Definitely. Yeah.
Even though no child asked about it. Waiting to know anyway.
Can we touch a little bit on thimbles?
Thimbles?
Finger condoms.
Oh, yeah. Finger condoms. Let's talk about those.
What a cute little doodad.
Yeah. Yeah, they are really
cute. I think they're so sweet.
Yeah, I agree. Something I had never seen until I was trained as a sex educator, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's really not discussed. Can we talk a little bit about how and where you can keep a condom?
Yeah, that is one thing I do remember learning in sex ed was like, don't put it in your pocket or a wallet. Heat is bad. Don't leave it in your car.
Right.
And then people were like, those are the only places I could leave condoms. So right. What do I do now?
Yeah, do you have any tips? Yeah. I still don't know the answer.
Like if you're taking it with you. Like obviously, so if it's in your house, find a cool, dry place. If you're taking it with you, it's fine to stick it in your pocket or your wallet for the night. But definitely not, like, you don't want to stick a condom in your wallet and leave it there for a few months and then pull it out when you need it. Because, yeah, it's important to acknowledge, for anyone who doesn't know, I think a lot of people know, but I'm sure some people don't, that condoms have expiration dates and the latex degrades and heat degrades it and oil degrades it.
Also, I don't think we mentioned at all that it's always a good idea if you're using toys with partners to put a condom on your sex toys.
Mm-hmm.
To just provide a little...
Yeah, it makes it way easier to clean. Yeah, any object, even if you're just, like, using it with yourself. Like, if, I don't know, people use all sorts of things as toys, like vegetables or electric toothbrushes and all those things. You could just put a condom over it and then not have to worry about bacteria. Yeah, condoms are pretty powerful, and it's cool to think about how long they've been around.
Yeah.
It's such a simple little tool. It works really pretty well.
I sent Izzy a video of a particular factory making condoms and all of the tests that they're put through as far as being filled with water and rolled around and blown up until they explode and parts of them being stretched really far. And I just, like, I don't think I really had a concept of how strong they were. It's pretty crazy.
Mm. That's my favorite thing to do with kids with condoms, is to show, like, to stretch them on my arm until they break, or, like, especially because of that myth that we were talking about of, like, well, condoms don't feel good on me, like, they're too tight, like, I'm too big for a condom, I feel like is kind of a common, like, teenage boy line.
Mm-hmm.
So being like, well, is your penis bigger than my arm? Because look how far I can stretch this condom. Or, like, blowing them up like balloons. That's all fun. I feel like that's important to, like, I feel like, I don't know if I would have liked that in ninth grade, but I feel like it's important to show kids that it's, like, it's not, like, I don't know. I needed someone to tell me, like, you're not sexual just because you're touching a condom. Like, I wasn't ready to be sexual yet, and so I didn't want to deal with condoms, but it's like, I can just be silly and a toy, and it's made out of the same material as balloons, and we can laugh about it.
Someone needed to tell you to laugh more, Izzy. It'd be nice if people didn't throw things at you.
Yeah.
And also have a laugh.
Yeah. That's what I wanted from sex ed.
But I feel like there was also information floating around when we were younger about how a condom can get lost in the vagina. Which is a fear that maybe you don't want to instill in anyone if you're just telling them about condoms. But if it's brought up, it's important to know that it's not just going to get lost inside and there's an end and you can just pull it right out.
Right. Yeah, I love, like, showing anatomy pictures, being like, look, there's a cervix. It can't get past there. You can reach it with your fingers and pull it right out, but it can get lost in your butt. So only put things in your butt that have flared bases or that someone's holding on to or that are attached to a person.
Did you ever watch videos of only women that I've seen, but I'm sure there are tons, putting, like, huge bell peppers in their butts and then pushing them out?
No.
Like, giving birth to them?
No, I've never seen that. I feel like a lot of kids ask about the butt thing now because of the show Sex Sent Me to the ER. I don't even know if that's still on. But a lot of middle schoolers that I taught had seen Sex Sent Me to the ER, and it seemed like almost all of those things were, like, things getting lost in people's butts.
What is that?
I'm going to Google it. Never seen it. Yeah, it's a show. It was on TLC, obviously. Sure, it says, the show features actors who reenact various real-life accidents that occurred during sex.
Huh.
So, there you go. If anyone wants to check out Sex Sent Me to the ER and send us your thoughts, I'd rather that than have to actually watch it myself. Do you want to hear some episode titles of Sex Sent Me to the ER?
100% yes.
Okay, there's It Was a Doozy. It won't Stop. Sticky Situation. Clean Up on Aisle 4. Drama Down Under. Ugh. Give a Dog a Bone.
No.
Motorcycle Mayhem. And I'll just leave it at that.
I need a little bit of explanation about Motorcycle Mayhem. Is there a plot summary?
There's no plot summary. You'll have to watch it. All right. So, Rebecca, if a kid asked you this question or any of these questions, so what is a condom? Do condoms hurt? Do they feel good? What would you say to a kid?
Depending on the age, I would probably say that it is typically a piece of latex that's used as a barrier to prevent pregnancy or STIs during sex, and it's can be put over the penis or inserted into the vagina. I think I would keep it pretty simple.
Yeah, I think it's really empowering. I was thinking about this too, because, you know, the way we talk about pregnancy, when kids ask, like, how do babies get made, and we say, like, oh, a penis goes into a vagina, or, like, a sperm meets an egg, I think it's powerful to be like, there's ways to do those things and not get pregnant. Like, it's not like every single time someone has sex, there's a risk of getting pregnant. Like, there's this thing called a condom. I also like to talk to kids about birth control of all different sorts. But yeah, I think just being really clear, like, there's this little piece of rubber that fits over a penis, or there's another kind that fits into a vagina or a butt, and it just blocks things from going between people. So it blocks sperm from getting into a body, it blocks bacteria or germs from going between people. So it just makes sure that no one gets sick and no one gets pregnant if they don't want to get pregnant. And I think I would offer to show one. Like, do you want to see a condom?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because I think that speaks to what we were talking about, like the demystification of, like, I'm hearing about this thing, but what does it actually look like or feel like? So if the kid was open to it and interested, I would give them one to play with. And if they said no, I would just say, like, I have one for you to see if you ever want to. And if you ever want to learn how to use it, I can teach you that.
Is there, say a kid is asking a parent or just someone in their life who isn't particularly comfortable bringing one out and demonstrating, is there somewhere where we could direct them that would give a good, like a video of it?
There's a really sweet video. Have you seen the video of the person who is a sex ed teacher in the South who's not allowed to do condom demonstrations? So he does one with a sock and a shoe. It's very sweet. The video, I think, is just called How to Put on a Sock. And he talks about, like, he has a sock rolled up, and he talks about pinching the tip so there's room for your toes. And so it's Sanford Johnson has a video called How to Put on a Sock on YouTube. Who's a sex ed teacher in Mississippi. But it just shows all the steps of putting on a condom in a way that I think is pretty approachable and comfortable, especially for younger kids. And then I would also always recommend Scarlatine as a resource for, like, any question about sex and bodies for young people.
Great. Hope people are having as much quarantine sex as they want to be having. I am not quarantined with my partner, so I'm having very little sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of interesting stuff happening in people's sex lives because of quarantine, and also in our relationships with our bodies. And something that I saw that was really sweet, actually, and really relevant to this conversation is that people who are comfortable and competent at negotiating safer sex are also going to be comfortable and competent negotiating quarantine boundaries. So, like, if you're used to saying, like, well, what other partners do you have? Who else are you having sex with? And you might be comfortable saying, like, oh, who else are you seeing during quarantine? And if you're comfortable saying, like, I don't want to get within 6 feet of each other, you know, all of the negotiation that has to happen, like, will you please back up? Like, all the things that we're figuring out with who we're willing to see and how we see them is all, like, really applicable skills from the safer sex conversation. So I thought that was fun.
As we're all aware, there are a lot of parents out there right now who are homeschooling. And if you feel comfortable and you feel as though you're maybe tired of math or science, I feel like it's a good time, and I encourage you to incorporate a sex ed class in your homeschooling.
I love that.
And if you do decide to do it and you have questions that you're uncomfortable answering or don't know how or aren't quite sure how to answer, please send the questions to us. We'll get back to you. We'll answer them. Yeah, I mean, what better time than this?
The number one thing you can do to support our work right now, besides give us money, which you're always invited to do, is to share this podcast with your personal networks, because, you know, we're really good at reaching our friends and families with our podcast. But if you enjoy it, it'd be really awesome if you share it with people who you think would like it, share it on your social media. That's how we spread the word. And you can subscribe so that you'll always be kept updated with new episodes. You can subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Who else is cutting their hair off? Who's bald? Who's shaved? Who's shorter?
Me! Gives me a sense of control.
Yeah. Cool, cool, cool. We're all doing great. Cool, cool.
Yeah. This is good. This is good. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Be safe, be healthy, express your boundaries, and hopefully we'll have another Quarren podcast for you soon.
Oh, we will. Just wait.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is hosted by me, Rebecca Klein, and Izzy Abraham Raveson. Edited by Izzy Abraham Raveson. Original music by Austin Alfano. Artwork by Rebecca Klein and Jackie Soro. And a special thanks to the young people who asked the questions and inspired this podcast.